trying to get a little gist of what life is like for you guys. You specifically,
coaches in general?
Yeah, and for you specifically, why the coaching profession? What was it about that then that drew you?
My father has been a coach all my life, so it was at the high school level. But you know, that was what I grew up around, basically what I knew, and I loved it. You know, I got an opportunity to learn things that maybe some people necessarily didn't at a young age because I was around football and around the locker room and around the staff meetings, and got used to that style of life at home as a kid. And really enjoyed it, you know, and I saw the rewards that my father had from it, you know, as a coach himself, and went to college and kind of had my eye on that, you know, the whole time, and felt like that's the direction I was going to go in, because I really, you know, like I said, I just using the experience that I saw my father have and looked like the way I wanted to go with my life, and that's kind of why I, you know, delved into the coaching profession to start with.
If not coaching, what would you be doing right now?
I don't know. It's a great question. I majored in math in college for no other reason than I was good at math, you know. So it's what I had my eye on really the whole time. You know, communications was a thought, but I really never really considered much else other than this. I wanted to go be a graduate assistant and then, you know, move on to some level. Never dreamed it would be this one.
What's been the most challenging aspect of coaching in your mind so far?
I think every day is a challenge, you know. Every week is different. That's really kind of the interesting thing about it, and it's probably the most challenging thing about it, is each week you come in and what you did to beat the team last week or what you did to try to win the game 2 weeks ago doesn't necessarily have application this week because this team or this defense is totally different, and you know, you have to evaluate their players every week and try to find the weaknesses or, you know, and the strengths of your team and use those to the best of your ability. And it's, like I said, it's a real challenge, and there's a time crunch on everything. You know, when we have, like this week was even more of a time crunch, you know, playing on Monday night. But between that and trying to figure out the best way to attack somebody, whether it be offense, defense, special teams, is really tough in a short period of time.
What's the challenging part about calling the game? And can you just talk about maybe how much more comfortable you are or how you've sort of evolved in calling a game now than maybe when you first went into that role?
I think the challenging thing about it is you're never really sure exactly how somebody's going to play you from 1 week to the next. You prepare and you know what they've done, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they're going to do against you that day. And I think you got to try to balance, you know, running your offense and doing what you do well with how are they playing us differently and what adjustments do we need to make during the course of the game that maybe we didn't foresee during the week, and getting that done on the sideline or at halftime, you know, or even in the middle of a series. You know, they're not playing what we thought they're going to play and making a different call into the huddle. I think I'm much more into the flow of that type of a game now than I was 2 years ago. And feel comfortable with it. And I think our players, that's kind of how we've approached the spring and training camp. You know, be flexible, be ready to adjust. You know, it's not just going to be the same thing every day. And we try to teach them that, to coach them that way, and that's how we prepare every week.
Is there a sense at times that you want to diverge from your game plan and just you have a feeling by the seat of the pants, I think this might work, but... Or do you kind of help yourself away?
No, I think that's part of the game. I think that, you know, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with what they're doing, you know. And we've been played differently, you know, this year. Buffalo played a lot of cover two and a lot more too high coverage. And then last week was a lot more pressure. You know, so based on what the team does, you might have to go with an instinct or a gut feeling and say, you know, what we planned on doing or what we tried to do in this situation may not be the best thing to do, and you call something different, and you hope your guys are prepared well, and which we've been for the most part, and able to adjust on the run.
Is it particularly easier? Well, I don't know if it's easier, but working with Brady, knowing that he's been there, he's done so many different things, and he's having such a high level of success.
Yeah, Tom and I think when something like that happens, and you know, whether it's on the sideline or in the middle of the drive or during a timeout and it's brought up, I think he's pretty quick to be on the same wavelength, whether that be something from Bill for myself or one of the other members of our staff, you know, if we have an idea that we feel is going to work and be successful, I think he understands why pretty fast, you know, and I think we're fortunate to have him be the guy in the huddle and, you know, and make sure that everybody else is on the same page as we are, and he's usually pretty quick to adapt and adjust to what we're doing.
Getting back to your dad for 1 second, is there any play, anything that you do offensively that in some tiny way you can trace back to him?
He's always been a good screen coach.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
He takes great pride in having his teams be good screen teams. You know, we haven't run a tremendous amount of screens this year, but you could call us a decent screen team in the past, and he always kind of gets a tickle when, you know, when we run something and it's successful in the screen game, because like I said, he works hard at that with his young kids in high school, and he's had some good success with that.
It's interesting that, you know, something a high school
coach
would translate to
it is.
Pro game.
It is.
Josh, you often hear players talk about the camaraderie they have in the locker room with their teammates and even with other players on other teams, maybe who they've played with before or just know. Is there a similar sort of fraternity, for lack of a better word, among coaches?
I think you form relationships, you know. I've been in one place for 7 years, so, you know, I know the people that were here and have moved on. I know a few other people, a few other teams. But I think you probably have to do a lot more moving around in order to feel like, you know, every week I'm going to go see a guy that I worked with 10 years ago and or what have you. But, you know, this week it's, you know, it's interesting because obviously I have a relationship with Romeo. There's some other people on the staff, Mel Tucker and Corey Unland, that I know pretty well and, you know, I've kept a relationship with. I wouldn't say it's maybe the same as players, but I know that, you know, there's relationships that definitely exist in the coaching ranks.
Do you think your experience in the personnel department has helped at all as a coach?
I think every experience I've had here in some way, shape, or form has definitely contributed to, you know, my development. You know, in the personnel department, I think you got an opportunity to, you know, learn how to evaluate players, you know, learn how the league works, you know, learn the pro side from the college side, and evaluating a college player may not be the same as evaluating a player, you know, who's been in the league for a few years or longer. So I definitely think that the personnel side of it, you know, you learn how to, you know, evaluate players on a weekly basis, you know, the Browns defensive backs versus the Bengals or so on and so forth. And I think I gained a value experience there. Scott helped me a lot when I was there in the personnel department, and I've tried to continue, you know, to do that throughout my career here.
Just looking at this week's game, how helpful is it to you that you go up against the defense in practice every day that plays a similar style to Romeo's?
We kind of knew going into the season that, you know, quite a few of the first few teams we were going to play in the season was, you know, we're going to play the 3-4 system. And you know, obviously it doesn't hurt to practice against that for a month in training camp and then go into the season and play the Jets and the Chargers and the Browns and you know, so I think it's helpful our guys on defense on the look team know kind of how to play the technique without us having to instruct them, which is obviously a big, you know, a big point for us, a point of emphasis each week. We want to try to tell them to mimic the team's technique or look the best way that we can. And this week you don't have to do it quite as much because they pretty much know how to do it.
What are the 10 to 15 seconds like? I think Bill was talking about it, if I heard him right in there. You get the people on the field, the personnel on the field, and then you have about 10 to 15 seconds to make the call. I mean, what is that time frame like for you?
Usually you kind of try to stay ahead. You know, if you have a first and 10 call, you're hoping it's going to be second and 5 or less, or, you know, and you kind of in your head, you know, all right, if it's second and 5, I know which way I'm leaning. You know, if it's second and 10, I know which way I'm going to lean there too. And you try to stay ahead of it a few steps ahead, and then, you know, really when you're calling the personnel grouping to go on the field, you've basically selected the play to go along with it, you know. So I would say that maybe the time frame you're talking about is 10 to 15 seconds to get the personnel and play in there at the same time, because usually it goes hand in hand.
You guys shuffle a lot of guys in and out too, so does that create another dynamic there to just make sure you know?
Yeah, I think we, you know, Ivan and Billy on the sidelines and Dante, when it's necessary, have done a great job of helping, you know, make sure we got the right people in the game, which is, like you say, if we're moving people in and out, whether it be receivers, tight ends, backs, what have you, you know, they got to do a good job of communicating when they go on the field, who's coming out, who's going in, who am I coming in for. You know, so that takes place, and then once everybody's in the huddle, obviously, then we feel comfortable and go ahead and call the play.
Josh, when you take, you know, if you guys call it shot plays, if you have one in mind that you're going to take a shot downfield with, you often hear announcers say, well, they really set this one up really nicely. And how far in advance can you set, say, one play that you're going to try to hit them with?
I think, you know, you try to balance the game plan, you know, whether that's formations, you know, being able to run and pass from formations or run and pass from personnel groupings. And if there's something you run early in the game that was a successful run or pass and you want to try to counter that, you know, I think you kind of plan ahead during the week and try to marry those formations or personnel groupings together so that during the course of the game, if you call something early, you know, you basically kind of set that up for later on in the game. And hopefully that's the, you know, you get some reaction from the defense. It doesn't always work out that way if you don't get the same defense or the same look, but, you know, that would be the thing we're trying to do.
Last question. I mean, yeah. I remember right before the season opener, Randy had talked about not wanting to slow the tempo of the offense down because he had missed some time in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been surprised at all that the tempo, one, hasn't slowed down and that he's actually been such a part of what you've been doing just in terms of being on the field a lot?
No, I'm not. I mean, he and everybody else, for that matter, they've done a great job of learning the game plan each week, being ready to adjust, which has been, you know, a part of each one of our game plans and our weeks. They've done a good job in practice. He's a bright player, very coachable, along with the rest of our skilled players, which I think when you look at them as a group, that gives us a lot of flexibility, and it allows us to, you know, do what we're doing with shuffling people in and out of the game and not losing a step here or there or not having to, you know, slow the tempo of our offense down or the game. And, you know, most of the credit would go to them. You know, we're coaching them that way. We're coaching them hard. We're not accepting anything less than that. And they're complying by working hard themselves and being ready for whatever we call during the course of the week. And whether it be Randy or any of the other receivers, tight ends or backs, they've done a pretty good job in training camp and throughout the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You got it. Thank you, guys.